We are going to sing one last song, though, but before we do, many times we don't just pick hymns and songs randomly. We try to have a little bit of theme going on, and sometimes the Spirit of God does that for us here at our church when Mike doesn't even know what I'm going to be preaching on, and he picks songs, and the Spirit of God just leads him to pick songs that go right along with the message. That happens over and over again. But this morning, we were a little more purposeful in doing that. We sang, "Rejoice, the Lord is King." We sang, "Rejoice in the Lord always." We sang, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord." The songs, a lot of them that we sang, had a common theme of rejoicing and joy this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, we have been looking for a few weeks now at this wonderful Psalm of David. And David is reminding us that the Lord delights to be known. And he reveals himself to us. And in revealing himself to us, he uses creation, he uses his word, and eventually he used his son to reveal himself to us. But in this particular passage, we've been concentrating on verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. And let's read those verses again. You follow along as I read. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Let's sing these verses just for a moment before we continue in God's word. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." All right, great. Appreciate your singing. Lord, open our eyes to your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have discovered that the Bible is many things to us. It is our position. We studied that a couple of weeks ago. In verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We have a lot of dualism going on here where we have a cause and an effect. We have something that the Word of God is and something that it does. And because the Word of the Lord is perfect, it can convert the soul. And certainly, I trust that that is your position today. You are a converted one. You have been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have experienced what we call the new birth. You have been converted from being a child of Satan to a child of God. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And so I trust that that's your position today. But then we saw also in the latter part of verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. And so the law of the Lord is our principles today. It is that which we live our lives by. We are wise when we live our lives by these principles. And we saw that those principles, if lived, bring deliverance to our souls. Those principles, if lived, cause us to have a solid foundation of doctrine for our lives. And it teaches us how we ought to live, how we ought to practice what we believe. But this morning, one of the key words in our verse, we're at verse 8 now, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We want to talk about the Word of God is our pleasure, rejoicing the heart. And what did the psalmist say on one occasion? He says, I was glad when they said what? Let us go up unto the house of the Lord. I was glad. Now, I didn't want to be unkind this morning, but while we were singing our song that we were standing singing, what did we sing together? Rejoice in the Lord. Some of you didn't have a real rejoicing look on your face. I have to admit that. I'm not getting on you too bad this morning, but some of you must be tired or something this morning because you didn't really have this joy coming out of you when you were singing, Rejoice in the Lord always and again. No, you weren't quite that bad, but I'm just over-exaggerating a little bit this morning. But you know where we ought to have our joy today? In the Lord, and His Word is that which rejoices our heart. Rejoices our heart. And so the Word of God is our position, the Word of God is our principles, and the Word of God is our pleasure today. And that's what we're going to look at here in this. Someone once said, I don't even know who to credit with this, said, if you want to get rich, get into the pleasure/entertainment business. If you want to get rich. 21st century Christians, or Americans, can be characterized by the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If any group of people is that characteristic of, that is our society that we live in. Racetracks, gambling casinos, pleasure palaces, mankind relentlessly and ceaselessly looks for thrills today. I've mentioned this again, but I'm going to mention it now. What does muse mean? To muse, M-U-S-E. What does muse mean? To think. Muse means to think. What does amuse mean? To no think. That's what amuse mean. So we spend billions of dollars going to amusement parks so we don't have to think. You know, and that's our nation today. I lived for many, many years in the state of Florida. Florida has no state income tax. And they have very low property taxes. Why? Because of all the amusement parks in Florida that raise so much revenue that you don't have to have high property taxes or income taxes in Florida. Because of the amusement industry. And certainly we live in a society that looks for sensual satisfaction and conscience-numbing entertainment. Many people will spend hours trying to be humored, but will not bother to spend minutes thinking constructively about how they can please God. We have sports idols today. Why? Because they entertain us. And we have our favorite quarterbacks, and we have our favorite home run hitters, and we have our favorite golfers, and we have our favorite basketball stars. And we find that, well, I hardly know of an athlete who isn't paid more than the President of the United States is paid. Well, maybe I shouldn't go there. But anyway, we have sports enthusiasts, soap opera addicts, and social drinkers and thrill seekers. And that's our society, all wanting to find pleasure and joy and happiness. And yet, what does this verse tell us? The statutes of the Lord are right, doing what? Rejoicing the heart. And the psalmist has hit it right on the head. It all has to do with the heart. That's where it starts. The heart. If your heart isn't right with God, you will never find joy. Never find genuine joy. And certainly today, we have so many who are looking to get a kick out of life when they really do not have a life that's worth living because they do not know Christ. Along with all of that desire for joy and pleasure has made us a greedy people. And we now find people who are more interested in being served than how they can serve. Want others to always serve them. And the goal of too many people is to play instead of pray. They don't follow Christ on the narrow way because they are happy in their pleasure on the broad way. But the broad way leads to destruction. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Have you ever seen the little phrase, and I probably won't get it right because I didn't write it down here, but sin always does what? Takes you further than you wanted to go, costs you more than you wanted to pay, and it does one more thing, and keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. Sin always costs you more than you wanted to pay, keeps you longer than you wanted to stay, and takes you further than you wanted to go. That's probably not exactly right, but what's that little saying telling us? Sin has a cost. And He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. We have our bodies are affected, our consciences are seared, and our minds are lulled to sleep. Jeremiah 17:9 says what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the whole matter is, what is your heart looking for today? And if you trust your heart, have you ever heard anybody tell you, just trust your heart? What's wrong with that advice? Yeah, you have a wicked, evil heart. It's desperately wicked above all things. Can you trust it? No, you can't trust it. And certainly, evil hearts give us evil aspirations, and evil aspirations give us evil lives. And so we find that we have to have a change, and that change is brought to us through the Word of God that gives us a different motivation. The motivation is not just to have our hearts full of pleasure. That's not the motivation. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that's where we have the dilemma. Our hearts are wicked. We're to keep our hearts because out of those hearts come all of the issues of life. So what do we need? A new heart. We need a new heart. What did David say after he had sinned? He said in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He said, I need a different heart. I need a clean heart. We need a new nature, and that new nature is only imparted to us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and accept His payment of shed blood as the payment for our sin. And then we have this happen to us according to 2 Peter 1:4. We are assured then that there's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Matthew tells us, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old wineskins, else the wineskins break, and the wine runneth out, and the wineskins perish. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." What is that verse telling us? You don't just patch up the old, you need the new. And what do we need today? We need new hearts and a new nature. And so we must be like Job when Job said, "Neither have I gone back from thy commandments of thy lips. I have entered the words of his mouth, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So what did Job look for in life? The food of the Word of God. What will the Word of God do? Rejoice your heart. Rejoice your heart. But not only does the Word of God need to give us new motivation, it should be our meditation. I'm sure that it's no surprise to us that we can point again in the relationship between America's moral decline and the relationship of ignoring the Bible. They go hand in hand. When a nation makes light or disregards the holy Word of God, That nation cannot produce people whose minds are controlled by godly standards. Immorality, crime, immoral, criminal thinking all arise because we have ignored the Word of God. We have fed our minds with degenerate literature. What is true about the computer? What you put in is what you get out. And if you put in the Word of God, that will have an effect of what comes out of man. But if you just put the literature of today and all of the debased and degenerate movies of the day, it cannot help but affect our thinking. Matthew 5, 18 and 19, listen to these verses. It says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the believer has a new nature. And now that he has a new nature, he has something new flowing out of his heart and out of his mouth and out of his mind. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." Did you see all of that progression there? Letting the Word of God dwell richly in our hearts, and then what we do and what we say, we will do in the name of the Lord Jesus. A bitter fountain cannot put forth sweet water. And a corrupt fountain can't put forth good water. That's why we have to have the meditations of our hearts. And this verse that we have been singing and reading talks again about our meditation on the word, that it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Jesus said when he was being tempted by the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so forth, and because of that, what should be our daily food? The Word of God. We need to be consistent, ceaseless, careful students of the Word of God. We should testify to the very fact that we have been born again through the Word of God. But then we should also recognize that our daily walk is all because of the Word of God. The Word of God should be our daily meat. Psalm 119:9 says that, "How are we to cleanse ourselves? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You know, scriptural malnutrition has a tremendous effect. Several months ago, maybe a couple of years ago, a study was made as to some of the most biblically illiterate people in the United States. And guess which city ranks number one? Albany, New York, in the United States, is the most biblically illiterate group in the United States. What does that tell us? People around us do not know what God's word says. And if they don't know what it says, they are certainly not going to do what it says, because they don't even know what it says. And so our meat ought to be the Word of God, and we ought to look for every opportunity that we can to get the Word of God into the lives of others. Unfortunately, even a lot of the churches in our area are nothing but giving human philosophy and having all kinds of rituals that leave people empty and do not know the Word of God. Our church covenant, I've just been reading it recently. Why do you think I've been reading it recently? Because we now have just upgraded it and have it back in a form. A few years ago, you recognized that we added an amendment to our church constitution, and it had to do to protect ourselves from any possible lawsuits among the homosexual agenda. So we had to put a statement in our faith about human sexuality. And we did that as a congregation a number of years ago. But we were a little negligent in getting those put into our documents and getting them all updated. Well, we have finally done that. And so the last week or so here, I've been proofreading it, getting it ready for final production. And so I was reading the covenant again of our church. In a few weeks, I'm going to read that again for all of us, or make sure we have it again, all of us. But what are we supposed to do if we ever leave Latham Bible Baptist Church? According to covenant, what have we said we're going to do? We're going to find another church that preaches the Word of God, and we're going to join with that church. That's what our covenant says that we're going to do if we ever leave this place. Whenever you relocate anywhere, you know what the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, that you can ever decide on before you relocate or while you're relocating? Make sure you find a good church. Make sure you find a good church. And if you can't find a good church, maybe God's not leading you there, or maybe he's going to lead you to start one in that area. But why? You need to be in a church where the Word of God is preached. It should be your meat day by day and week by week. Turn to Acts 24 with me, please. Acts 24. And in Acts 24, with whom is Paul speaking? Felix. All right. And notice when we come down to this whole conversation that's being taken place here between Felix and Paul. Notice in verse 24, it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him," what? "Concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." What do you think Paul was using when he was trying to speak about faith in Christ and righteousness and temperance and judgment to come? He was giving Felix the Word of God, probably several Old Testament passages. And what kind of effect did that have upon Felix there in verse 25? It said, Felix trembled. Trembled. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And we need to release it so it can do its work in lives. And nothing can replace God's word. And nothing is like God's word. Again, it's spoken of as being like a fire. The word of God is spoken of being like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And what's that testimony? The word of God. And so for the Christian, we ought to build our minds through the word, which is our milk and our meat. Just like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What did the psalmist say? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What did Jeremiah say? Your word came, I ate it, and it was the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. To what do you look today for the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Psalm 1 tells us that we should meditate in his word, and when we do, we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the place of refreshment. That bringeth forth fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What is an infomercial? It's more than just a 30-second spot on television, isn't it? What kind of infomercials have we been flooded with since the new year? Exercise machines that you can buy, and new diets you can try, and new exercise programs, and our society seems to be focusing on physical health. More about proper nutrition. And if we don't do it, our government's going to do it for us, right? So they won't any longer sell us supersized drinks. You know? We all know that if we want to be healthy, energetic, productive, we've got to eat right. But that's true with God's word as well. If you want to be healthy, productive, and effective in your Christian walk, you have to feed on the word of God. But also, all of these things tell us that where we look for the grandeur and glory of God is in the word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. Matthew 28 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great what? Joy. Here they saw and heard of Jesus' resurrection, and they departed with great joy and did run to bring what? Word to the disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all power or all hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Joy in believing what was told them eventually led them to loving Christ more. And when we find joy in the Word of God, the end result will be more fellowship with God, and we'll love Him even more. He will be our Magnificent One. Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, all point us to the perfect God and the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's the genuine rejoicing of your heart. Let's pray. Father, fill our lives with joy today. But not this world's joy, because it's empty, vain, fleeting, temporary. But the joy of the Lord is that which is lasting and penetrates to our hearts. There's no joy like God's joy. There's no joy like heavenly joy. There's no joy like the joy that comes from the statutes of the Lord. So help us, Father, to be wise today and not to be seeking pleasure and joy in the wrong places, but may we find our joy in God's Word and in God's Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.